Well, all right, everybody. This week, Paul and I are going to talk about cooking with gas. So what exactly does that mean to you, Paul? Why did this topic even come up?
Yeah, it came up because I have to cook with a crappy ceramic top electric stove over there. No. I've used them before, had them in many houses. I just don't like them. You know, I've had gas in other houses and I've liked that better. So what for me as an amateur chef, it comes down to the idea or the idea of control. And that's how it relates to the infinite banking concept. We want to control the banking function. As a chef, when I'm cooking dinner, I want precise temperature control over the pasta water or the steak or the vegetables, whatever the heck I'm doing, I want control. IBC gives me the best control over my family's financial future. Gas gives me the control I need in the kitchen. And that's how I came up with this episode.
All right. Well, I'm sure everybody's going to enjoy it. So enjoy.
Hey, I'm Dave.
And I'm Paul.
And this is the Wealth Warehouse Podcast.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Paul, we're both sitting in the same seats as last week. Crazy. You got Anthony. What Anthony is making himself a snack.
He must be making Easy Mac or something. Yeah.
I hope he's not using the stove.
He's not using the stove. He used the microwave.
Okay, good. Yeah, I mean, speaking of stoves, last episode, you went on a rant about electric stoves really grinding your gears. What's that all about, Paul?
Yeah, well, we're in this little place, and the other thing that is annoying is there's no, like, real cooking vent. So when you turn, you know, it's just like above the micro, you know, the microwave blows it.
That doesn't
just
sound
higher.
Like your code.
Well, that's how they all are. You have the stove, and then you get the microwave, and the microwave acts as your fan with that little metal grate, and then it just blows the smoke higher into the room, right?
Right.
And this place is tiny, right?
Yeah.
So that's our last house in Virginia had a real one that vented outside, and I was like, that was the first house we've ever had like that, and it was just great. Hold on a second.
Yes, you got to deal with all the living with the temporary stuff until you get your nice, what do you got, a Viking stove in the new place?
We have Monogram stuff, mainly, which is like General Electric's, which is all Chinese now. It's owned by a Chinese company, I'm pretty sure, but whatever. Anyway, so yeah, nice stuff and with a vent that goes outside. And it's just a pleasure to cook. It's the right, you know, you have the right equipment to do the thing that you need to do. Here, we can't make anything because you'll smoke up the entire apartment or whatever you want to call this place. You'll smoke up the whole place, the fire smoke alarm will go off, and it's annoying. So the electric stove thing came up because I was making something. And it was just boiling water. And the temperature control is just so, you know, gas, it's instantaneous. You lower it and you get it to right where you want it.
Right.
With the electric, you kind of chasing it all around. And I guess one could argue you would learn the stove eventually and learn how it behaves. And I just, cooking with an electric stovetop is just less ideal, right, than cooking with gas or propane or whatever.
You certainly have to have your, you can't step away. You definitely got to be watching, like, when is it going to all of a sudden hit that hot, you know, reach the temperature where everything starts going.
Yeah. The other thing is, and this is a safety tip for our listeners. So you're getting like a lot, you're getting good content and you're getting some safety tips. We were at a friend's house, electric cooktop, and she accidentally left a burner on, I don't know what it was on, medium low maybe or something. And she had like a glass tray of whatever we were eating. I think it was stuffed shells. So if you're listening to this, and you know, you'll know who I'm talking about here, but left it on there and we're just eating dinner in the room. And all of a sudden there was this massive explosion.
Oh no.
And it was the glass tray, Pyrex glass serving tray, or not serving tray, but what you would cook something in the oven.
Yeah.
It exploded, left on that burner, even though it wasn't on like high or whatever, just
just explode.
Yeah. Anyway. Yikes. Yeah. So
maybe that would happen with gas too, but the gas, you could see the flame. It's on. Like, shut it off.
Right. It's obvious that it's still hot.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear you. So now let's bring this back to infinite banking. How in the world are you going to connect that with infinite banking?
Well, I think it comes back to our favorite word, which is control. When you're cooking with gas, you can cook with precision. You can, it's kind of like practicing IBC. I can control my capital deployment in the most ideal manner, right? I can access capital. It keeps growing. My families get the death benefit in case something happens to me. I have all these things in place, right? So I have complete control of the function of banking, and I have the protection factor as well. And I think that's how, what I was thinking when I was thinking about this episode, I was like, it's control. That's the overall theme is control. And then precision over, I guess, precision in banking. I know what the loan rate's going to be.
Yeah.
And I can plan accordingly.
You know what the loan terms are going to be.
I know what the loan terms are going to be, and I can plan accordingly.
You know you're going to be approved every time for a
loan.
I'm
going to be approved every time.
Yeah.
Like every time. I'm the loan officer. I'm the bank owner. I'm the borrower, all wrapped into one thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, control.
Control. Love it. I mean, how many things in life can you actually control? Not a whole lot. So if you have the opportunity to control something, wouldn't you want to learn about it? Wouldn't you want to take control of something you have the ability to or the opportunity to? I mean, let's face it, not everybody, though, actually wants control over their finances. Just like not every human, I used to think this when I was young and more idealistic, I thought every human in the world wanted freedom. They don't. I don't believe that at all.
Yeah, that reminds me of, sorry, that reminds me of a scene in Full Metal Jacket where 8-Ball was getting interviewed. He's one of the Black Marines that's there. He's funny. And he says something. So if you're going to watch Full Metal Jacket, go watch that part. You'll know exactly what I'm talking about. He says something. They'd rather be something than free. And I don't remember what that line is. But he said, and then he says, poor dumb bastards or something like that. And it's just funny. That reminds me of that. Because you're right.
Well, most people would rather be comfortable than free. Like that's what most people really strive for is comfort.
Yeah, we just saw all that in 2020.
Yeah, people absolutely. Gave up 100%.
People gave up their freedom. I don't care what you
just to be a little more comfortable. Or, yeah,
just to be a little bit more comfortable. You know, and it just oh my god.
Yeah.
Anyway,
so I guess we need to face the facts. Not everybody actually wants control over the finances. They want somebody else to control them for them. If that's the case, then you're probably not listening to this show. If you are listening to the show and that's you, there's a better way. And you don't have to be scared to control your own finances. It's actually not that difficult and it's not complex. If you find, you know, the right approach.
Well, IBC is the ultimate financial simplicity.
It really is. Like, it couldn't be more simple.
It's simple.
You can make it as complex as you want. Those are the best phone calls I have, or you know, the best prospect calls I have when somebody calling in and they're just learning. They've just read a book, or they've started that journey, and they're really confused, or they ask these questions on minute details like loan repayment. What's the best way to set up a loan repayment? You know, how much am I going to pay in interest if I'm paying back, you know, $500 a month on loan? What's my total volume? I'm like, just let's zoom out here. It's much more simple than you're making it out to be.
Yeah. I, you know, like you always say, if you don't understand the concept, then the details don't matter. If you do understand the concept, then the details don't matter, or something like that. I forget if I put that right, but that's kind of majoring in the minors. You can calculate the interest on your policy loan quite easily. If the policy loan is 5% rate and you borrow money on January 1st, well, a year later, add $5,000 if you haven't made any loan repayments.
Right.
Simple.
Yeah.
So anyway, but yeah, people get into the weeds about different things, and that's fine. You know, we can answer all those questions and address them, but it's, you know, focus on the bigger overall concept of gaining control of a greater and greater portion of the banking function in your life every single year, right? Cooking with gas, right? With precision, being ready to sear that steak, right? Quicker, because these electric burners, they take forever.
That's forever.
The other thing. They take forever. Yeah. And people might say, well, your life insurance policies take forever to build up cash value. You're like, well, not really. Really don't.
No. They don't. I mean, it is going to be gradual.
It's relative.
In the beginning. It's all relative. And, you know, timing is everything. That, you know, I mean, timing matters. And, you know, imagine being able to control the timing on how quickly you can get the capital.
Yeah.
And not your own, somebody else's capital. How quickly can you do that when you need it? Like I said, I think last week I was talking about applying for a loan. I requested a large loan, I think on like a Friday.
Policy.
And I looked at the policy loan and I looked at my account on Sunday, my bank account, and the loan was already in there.
Amazing.
So it had already been deposited. Now that, of course, you know, it will vary. That's on the quicker end.
I know what company you're talking about.
And that would probably happen actually in one day because nobody sends money on Sunday.
Right.
So it was there on Saturday. I just didn't check.
Right.
So 24 hours, I had the money.
The timing is everything when you're looking at opportunity or opportunity. Sometimes opportunity comes up. I mean, oftentimes it comes up when you're not even expecting it. How many times since you've been practicing IBZ, have you received a call where somebody needed someone needs capital and you were able to fulfill their need in short order because you had access to it? It's like being a chef in the kitchen. The timing is very important. We can't, you know, finish, you know, the sides until, all right, I know I've got like 2 minutes left on this. So, all right, let's plate this, plate that, whatever, get it ready. You know, in a kitchen, it's utter chaos in a commercial kitchen. But, you know, the timing is critical so that the end user, the customer, in the case of the restaurant, gets his perfectly medium rare filet mignon and his sides all arriving. And then the other entrees, you know, for the other people at the table, all arriving at the same time, cooked to perfection.
Yeah.
And delivered with a smile.
Quite the analogy. So,
yeah.
And you mentioned, you know, the timing is somebody looking for capital, and I can provide that. And guess what? The people who need it really quickly are willing to pay for it. So,
yes.
Sometimes,
no doubt.
That could be very good for me.
Yep. The golden rule, right? Who controls the gold makes the rules.
Yep.
That's the rule of in banking, right? So,
I mean, imagine if every deal you did was take it or leave it. And you're the one saying, take it or leave it. Like, I don't need to do this deal. But if you want this deal, here's the terms, take it or leave it. Like, that's the kind of control you have when you're the banker.
Yeah, I like this. Check this out. This is what I came up with here. So you own the banking function. It's your flame. So in this case, I'm cooking with some sort of gas, like propane or natural gas. You decide how hot to run it, when to dial it down, or when to crank it up. So that could be like PUA.
Could be PUA because you have a range.
You have a range. Maybe you had a lean year as a meat reference, or an income reference. So you had a lean year, so you didn't fully fund your PUA. You had a fat year the next year. You can do a catch-up PUA. So you can crank up that PUA premium for that year, right? But again, going back to the idea of control, you control all of that.
Yeah. Somebody's controlling it. So hopefully it's you.
Yeah. And, you know, the growing share of control, right? Like, we don't fully control all of our financial needs through IBC, our system of life insurance policies yet.
Not yet.
Not yet. Right.
Right.
Nelson says it takes the average person 20 years to, you know, get rid of the snakes and dragons, you know, the bankers, completely out of your life, right? And that's okay, right? This is a generational, and for those of you who think you're too old to start this, that's nonsense. We've had that discussion many times with people. Once you get, you know, get on our calendar, you're not too old. Totally fine. We have clients well into their 60s.
Yeah.
Or even, did you have early 70s?
I had a 70-year-old. 70-year-old client.
Yeah.
So 70.
So from an infinite banking concept perspective, it matters not, assuming you can get underwritten. And if you can't, you can practice IBC on somebody else's. Look at that jumping child. Super motivated. You can practice on somebody else's life, as Nelson demonstrates in the book.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you care about legacy at all, you're certainly not too old if you're in your 60s. No. But yeah, even the banking aspect of that, like you said, if you can get insured, you can still bank with the policy into your 60s. No problem.
Yeah, I think if my parents had been 10 years younger, I don't life insurance policies on them.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. I'd probably do the same. So, you know, you're a lot more of a chef than I am. I like to set it and forget it. Like, I'm more of a sous vide guy. Like, you like to cook with gas. I like the sous vide because you know how easy that is.
I like sous vide too. Don't get me wrong.
I know, but that's basically the only way I do it if I have to cook for myself.
Well, you get perfect results.
You get perfect results. You set it, you forget it, and you can walk away. And that's kind of the way I view my policies. I'm going to pay my premium. Like I set it at the beginning with the policy design and how much premium I'm going to pay, how much PUA and how much flexibility I have in there. And then I'm going to pay my premium and I'm not going to go checking all my policies every day, every week. It doesn't matter. When I need a cash value loan, I log in and it's ready for me. So it's, I like to say, yeah, maybe I'm going to start a new saying. If banking is the sous vide of finances.
Ooh, I like it. But you're going to still use your gas stove with your hot cast iron skillet to finish that steak.
Right. You got to finish it. Yeah.
You got to finish it.
So, yeah, I don't know how to draw the analogy there. But
I don't know either. It's the finishing when you graduate, and that's like the death benefit that goes to your family.
Ooh, dude, then the heat really gets turned up because there's a whole lot of capital coming somebody's way.
That's right. The heat's going to get turned way up, and hopefully you've got more steaks to cook, more policies that need premium, maybe some loans that need repayment if you're generation two, or even maybe you're the surviving spouse in that case, right? Maybe there's loans out because people are just actively practicing family banking. There's loans, there's loan repayment, there's premium being paid. Now we've got three generations doing it. We've got grandchildren, you know, parents and grandparents doing it. Maybe great grandparents if we live long enough and they have babies early.
Yeah. How cool will that be when you're pretty old? You know, maybe you're in your 80s and you can tell your kids, all that cash value got say built in right now. Are you doing something with it? You need to find something to do with it because you're going to need you're going to need to make room for a windfall. Yeah, and maybe that'll be 5 years, maybe it'll be 10 years, but you got a windfall coming that's going to more than replenish any cash value loan you have taken out. So don't be afraid to put that money to work somewhere. Outside the policy.
Yeah, in a disciplined, safe, collateralized manner.
Exactly.
As a banker would.
Yeah. Right. I mean, maybe about that time they're ready to retire. And maybe, you know, if they retire passive income years and maybe they don't want a mortgage anymore and they decide, hey, I'm just gonna take a loan and pay the mortgage down, pay it off. So I don't have that monthly expense hanging over my head. Now they got a big outstanding loan and they're like, yeah, it'll get paid back when dad graduates. Or mom graduates. Yeah, don't got to worry about it.
Perpetual wealth system, which is also, I'm going to plug juvenile policies. That's why you should always own life insurance on your children as soon as possible. Simplifies underwriting and gives them a place to put money for their entire life.
And do as much as you can.
Do as much as you can. Doesn't have to be big, but do as much as you can.
I just ran some numbers for a client who's got a policy on him and his wife. Came back and he's like, I want to look at policies on the kids. Got two kids. And we looked at that and it's like, man, when they're your age, every dollar of premium they pay is creating, it was something like $6 at least of cash value that year.
Right.
So
phenomenal.
Sure makes the $10,000 premium look better than the $5,000 premium at that point.
It does. You know, I often tell people, and everyone in the IBC world has some sort of regret somewhere in their IBC, you know, early discovery, and then they've been living it for 20 years or whatever. But, you know, you look at my original premiums, which are, you know, significant premium.
Yeah.
But man, I could have made them more significant, probably. And those policies are great. They're great now. They've taken 7 premiums now, I think. They've accepted. So next year will be year 8 premium. And it's just, they're on fire.
Yeah. Now they're cooking with gas.
They're cooking with gas for sure.
Yeah.
Yep. And by the time you graduate, it's like throwing gasoline on an open flame. It really is. They are. I mean, it's what you shouldn't do. Another safety tip. Don't ever do that.
Yeah.
It's the fumes, man.
Well, I mean, if you're trying to get a bonfire really, really hype for a photo op or something.
You really got to be careful. Sure. I demonstrated that to Anthony a few years ago when we were little. I was like, there's a little bit of gasoline on this open flame. We were burning just yard brush or something in Kentucky. And it was like, I was like, dangerous. Don't ever do that.
It's so fun though.
It is.
Yeah. Why do we like fire so much?
I don't know. But cooking with gas, practicing the infinite banking concept, control.
Control. That's
it. Ultimate in control. Cooking control. Controlling the kitchen, controlling your financial life.
Yep. Yep. Love it, man. Well, hopefully you get out of that gas stove little studio you're staying in into your home pretty soon. What's the estimated date you're going to move?
They said 60 days post countertops being installed. The countertops went in last week, like early.
Okay.
So realistically, and some people have done this, have built homes. It's never what they say. I do care. As long as I'm in before Thanksgiving, I'll be happy. Preferably Columbus Day. But yeah, I think realistically, we're looking end of September into October, probably.
Maybe I'll be in before Veterans Day. That'd be nice.
If I'm in before Veterans Day, that'd be fantastic.
Or Halloween. There you go. Go trick or treat in the neighborhood.
Well, there's
sounds
only
like in
one
your
other
neighborhood. They probably give out the king size candy bars.
Maybe. There's only 5 children. There's three.
They get a lot of candy.
And 2 and my kids. There's only 5 kids in the entire neighborhood.
Yeah, you're gonna have to go to a different neighborhood to trick or treat.
Yeah,
where houses are really close together.
Yeah, we know where to go.
Yep. Yeah. Well, right on. All right. Well, hope you enjoyed, everybody. That was a lot more cooking discussion than I ever have because I'm not, I'm not much of a cook.
He's a grill man.
Well, I do man the grill. That makes me a grill man, I suppose.
That's right.
And I use charcoal. Which is kind of a pain, but
it is, but it tastes good.
Yeah, it's great.
Well, you guys come down, we'll do pizza.
Oh,
Neapolitan, 900 degree wood fired pizza.
You got Italian flour? You make
we
the bread out
we,
of?
We import it. My grandfather was in the olive oil business.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And the sanitation business.
Well, of course.
Of course. Nice. All right, man. Well, good luck to Anthony at basketball. I know he's got tryouts here coming up.
Yeah. If you're watching on YouTube, you saw him jumping around like he forgot I was here. Somehow.
He doesn't care.
No, doesn't care.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Hey, have a great week. We'll talk to you next week. Until then, control your capital.
Or somebody else will.
Hey, thanks for listening, everybody. If you'd like to have a conversation with us to see how you can become your own banker, or if you have any questions or topics you'd like us to tackle on a future episode, please send us an email to davidandpaul@theibcguys.com.
And subscribe and leave us a review if you're on Apple. Follow and leave us a 5-star review if you're on Spotify. And please share this with your friends. We'll see you next week.